Our coverage of the 2014 midterm election continues this week. Yesterday, we heard from the Republican candidate for the 8th Congressional District, Mike Bishop. While the 8th, which includes Lansing and East Lansing, has been reconfigured to the GOP's advantage, Democratic candidate Eric Schertzing says he's confident heading into the contest, which is now 1 week away. Eric Schertzing serves as the Ingham County Treasurer, but his involvement in county politics goes back to the 80s. He's also served as the county's Deputy Drain Commissioner, and he launched the county land bank. He said he's running to represent the middle class in Washington with emphases on jobs, infrastructure, equal pay for women, and education. Eric Schertzing, welcome back.
Welcome. I'm glad to be here. And a shout out to my good friends there down in Stockbridge. It's my alma mater.
You are
high school.
A graduate Absolutely. Of Stockbridge High School. And I didn't decide to tease that until 3 minutes ago. And then the stars aligned here. So how do you feel a week out?
Oh, I feel absolutely great. Everything is going wonderful. You know, Sunday morning, I woke up to the endorsement of the Livingston County Press and Argus, which that was a little bit of a surprise. I mean, this is the paper in the heart of the Republican territory of this district, literally Congressman Rogers' hometown newspaper, and they gave me a strong endorsement.
And that was a surprise, I take it.
Well, you know, Livingston County is one of the priority areas that we've spent a lot of resources on to make sure that folks there know me. I think it could be the difference in this election. So to get the Livingston County Press and Argus endorsement in such strong terms is a real honor.
What else makes you confident? I mean, typically the 8th, in recent years at least, is usually described as a safe district for Republicans. Is that changing? What else makes you confident?
Well, you know, one of the things is that Mike Bishop is no Mike Rogers. You know, I'm very confident in our ability to win. Every indication is that this election is going to be as close as the last time this was an open seat. In 2000, the election was decided by about 100 votes. This is going to be a close election, and we're fighting for every vote.
There are references in the media to a generic congressional poll that shows the 8th evenly split between Democrats and Republicans. Help our listeners understand, what is this generic congressional poll? What does it measure?
Well, you know, if you go and ask the likely voter, are they a Democrat or a Republican? I mean, that's kind of the question. It is 43-43. And the rest are, you know, independents or folks that, you know, lean one way or the other. But that's a surprising number, I think, for a lot of folks about the 8th Congressional District, and just reinforces what a competitive district this is when it's open.
Mike Bishop has raised more money than you have. How big a factor is that, though?
You know, I don't think it's a factor at all. Most of that went into a very divisive Republican primary, which they are still healing from. The Democrats have a tremendous coordinated campaign effort that we've been working on since June to turn out votes. So the ground game will far offset any small financial advantage.
Your website refers to, quote, an aggressive plan to bring new manufacturing jobs to Michigan. Can you tell us about that?
Well, you know, we need to use the tax code to encourage things that are good. And manufacturing is good for Michigan. It's good for the U.S. We need to redo the tax code so it doesn't encourage, as it currently does, companies to export jobs overseas. So we need to eliminate things that aren't good for us, letting the tax code favor companies sending jobs overseas, and make sure that they come back to Michigan. You know, we've got something of a manufacturing renaissance beginning to go on in business incubators and with maker groups, not only throughout this region, but throughout Michigan. And those small businesses are going to grow. We have a history of making things. We need to remember that, and we need to always be growing and encouraging that.
We're talking with Democratic candidate for the 8th Congressional District, Eric Schertzing, the Ingham County Treasurer. An email your campaign sent out last Friday referred to last week as a tough week for Mike Bishop, your opponent. As you mentioned, a couple of endorsements. Well, you got the endorsement of the Lansing State Journal as well as the Livingston County paper. Several media stories explored Mr. Bishop's resistance to a new Detroit River Bridge and the connection between Mr. Bishop and Mattie Maroon. Do you feel your electability has gone up just in the past week or 10 days?
Oh, absolutely. We're building right where we want to be so that we peak on the 4th of November. You know, I couldn't help but notice that Mike Bishop dropped off the line when you asked about the International Crossing yesterday. I don't know if there was any symbolism from that, but I think I can guess why that is. You know, Jack Lessenberry had the great piece last week that laid out Mattie Maroon and how he's been funneling tens of thousands of dollars to Bishop for years. Of course, Mike Bishop is protecting Mattie Maroon's interest at the expense of the rest of us. You know, everyone wants the crossing except Mattie Maroon and Mike Bishop. Governor Snyder, the Chambers of Commerce, the big three auto manufacturers, even environmentalists across the spectrum. This is a case of money corrupting the system, pure and simple. But that's what you can expect from Mike Bishop, whose campaign coffers are full of corporate cash. He works for the people who pay him. That's not my record or reputation. I'll always work for regular folks. That's who I am. That's what I'll do in Washington.
I asked Mike Bishop about this yesterday. He said he would support a new Detroit bridge, quote, to the extent that he can, unquote. But then he expressed what sounded like serious reservations about possibly burdening taxpayers with costs associated with the new bridge. Here is part of that response, and then you can respond.
Canada has stepped up and will front the money, but we are expected to pay it back over time. So it's not as though it's a freebie. Second of all, there is a huge cost to the Gateway project, which is somewhere around $350 million taxpayer dollars. Now, if that's going to come from the United States government, folks in Nebraska and California and Florida and all around the country are going to have to vote on whether or not they want to use U.S. taxpayer money to build yet another Gateway project.
Any particular response to what he said?
Well, you know, we have to be investing in our future, and infrastructure is how we build our future prosperity. The International Trade Crossing is being financed by the Canadian government. It will be paid back through people that use the bridge. So there's no cost to that for the American taxpayers.
He points out real concern, though, about this falling to the American taxpayers to end up having to pay. That is apparently his overriding concern here. Is there a chance of that, or is that unfounded?
I think he's mixing two messages. I mean, there is the approach and the work to be done on the American side for the exchange, and that is part of the U.S. government's responsibility. That's not the bridge. That is separate. But what we have to look at this as, and it's the reason that the Governor Snyder and the Chambers of Commerce and the Big Three, we absolutely have to have this bridge crossing, and it can't be next to Mattie Maroon's, you know, Mike Bishop's friend. Mike Bishop worked for Mattie Maroon. I think he's confusing what his job in Congress might be should he be elected. It's to work for all the people of the 8th District, not Mattie Maroon. For our future prosperity, we need to make smart investments. You know, it's similar to our road situation here in Michigan. Our roads didn't fall apart last year. Our roads fell apart because over the last 10 to 15 years, our leaders, like Mike Bishop, who claims to be a leader, have not made the investments in our future infrastructure, which are our future prosperity. That's what this bridge is. It's our future prosperity. The auto companies need it. Michigan is a manufacturing state. The greatest amount of international trade between the U.S. is with Canada.
You have touted a pragmatic approach to spending and to problem solving. You were raised on the farm, and you know, how do I say this? You claim to know what will work and what won't work. An old saying of my dad's is crossing my mind, but I can't repeat that one. I grew up on the farm, and I know that sounds like an appeal to centrists and even some conservatives. Is it?
You know, that is what this district is about, and that's what the American people and the folks that I talk to in this district want. They want somebody that's going to roll up their sleeves and take on the problems that we have and get to a solution. That's been my history as county treasurer and as land bank chair. You know, people want good outcomes, not partisan bickering. You know, Bishop was part of shutting down state government not once but twice. And the worst thing about that, and that does not show leadership, that shows petty partisanship. The reputation of Michigan is still harmed today by those shutdowns in the last decade.
The State Journal's front page today includes a story on wolf hunting in Michigan. Should Michigan allow wolf hunting?
Well, you know, I think the voters should have their say in this. And the challenge I have with what the administration has been doing is they've let politics override citizen initiatives. So I think the public ought to have a chance to speak on that, and they should be listened to.
Would you vote for wolf hunting, though?
You know, from what I know right now, in my gut, I would vote against wolf hunting. But mainly, I want to leave it to the scientists to make that decision, not a bunch of politicians.
Again, you have touted a pragmatic approach to problem solving and your willingness to reach across the aisle. You point to a history of that at the county level. Isn't it fair to say, though, that as a freshman member of Congress, you would probably vote the majority of the time with the caucus? I mean, are there opportunities for freshmen in Congress to really assert that kind of independence, or wouldn't you vote the most of the time with the Democratic caucus?
Well, you know, I'm going to go there and appraise the situation as they come at me. I'm going to represent the 8th Congressional District. You know, we need to mix it up a little bit more. Washington is broken and dysfunctional. Things aren't getting done down there. So I'm not sure doing things the way we always have is the way to go forward. I'm going to focus on infrastructure and education. You know, we're going to find the commonalities, the common ground, rather than what divides us. When did potholes in higher education become partisan? You know, I don't know why, and I don't know how. We've got to keep those things nonpartisan and move this country forward.
What have you learned in this process? I mean, you've served for decades mm-hmm. on the county level, but you've thrown your hat in the ring here for the U.S. Congress. Have you learned anything that surprised you? Or generally, what have you learned in this process?
You know, it has really just reinforced with me how, you know, wonderful and courageous our businesses and our people are to step up to the task in front of us. You know, we need to be challenged. How are we going to fix the roads? How are we going to make college education affordable? People want to talk about those type of issues. They want solutions. They want people that are going to come up with solutions. And there are ways to do it that we can come together in a bipartisan fashion. You know, county government just doesn't have much partisanship. We're partisanly elected. But when you get to the people's business, you do the job for the people you're elected to serve. And that's what I'm going to do in Congress, wherever that may take me.
Bridge Magazine did call a foul on one of your TV ads for assigning Mike Bishop too much of the blame for Michigan's two government shutdowns, overlooking any role from Governor Granholm and House Speaker Andy Dillon. Do you contest that foul, or do they have a point?
Well, I think they're asking us to put an awful lot into a 30-second commercial. You know, these sound bites only have so much space.
Bridge commented, I'll quote their comment, "It was friction among three political leaders and two political parties that brought the state twice to that impasse. Criticizing Bishop for his leadership role in the shutdowns would have been kosher. Blaming Bishop alone distorts his role in these events." Any more to say on that?
No.
You haven't been a county commissioner, as I recall, but
no.
you are the county treasurer, of course.
Correct.
How have you responded to past budget deficits on the county level? Do you have a history more of advocating tax increases or of spending cuts, or has it been a mix?
Well, you know, I think it has been a mix. What Ingham County has tended to do, and again, this is the county commissioners, not me as the county treasurer, but they have gone to the voters for extra voted millages to see if the voters are interested in a 911 or a juvenile justice millage to help offset some of the cost. What we've done for a decade in county government is cut where we've had to cut, not lowering the level of services, hopefully, to the citizens, but we've always done it with a balanced budget. We've actually ended up most years with a surplus. You know, and that's from good prudent management and good budgeting and good oversight. I haven't done that alone. I've been part of that process. Ingham County government is a wonderful family of very conscientious and fiscally responsible leaders.
Eric Schertzing serves as the Ingham County treasurer. He is the Democratic candidate for the 8th Congressional District, and he's a resident of East Lansing. Eric, thanks for joining us. Good luck.
Thank you, Mark. I appreciate it.